All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bible Baptist Church. Wow, are they going to turn? Watch out for Tony. All right. Welcome to Bible Baptist Church. Welcome to Sunday School. This is the adult Sunday School. And we're in 1 Corinthians. If you got a Bible, want to participate along. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Yeah, I'll take a water. I'll need a water. 1 Corinthians 7. She went to go get one. Thank you, Michelle. Anybody else want to get me water? No. Thank you. All right. So 1 Corinthians is the letter written to the Corinthian church. And there's a lot of things Paul has to deal with the church there. To say the least. The first four chapters really deal with the cliques and the carnality that sort of manifests itself as personality worship, and I like this guy and I like this other guy, and you're not as spiritual as me because I like this guy and I like Paul and I like Peter. And Paul just obliterates that idea and shows how foolish and carnal it is. Because ultimately, if you're learning something from a teacher, that teacher got what he's teaching from the words of God and from the Holy Spirit of God. So the Lord is the teacher. And there's no personality. Every personality can be replaced. And so it's not the personality that's really that important. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches, and God Almighty through the Holy Spirit that teaches. And so he deals with that for like four chapters. And the second thing he deals with is something that kind of runs through this chapter, 5, 6, and 7, and it's fornication. And the marriage section here in 1 Corinthians 7 is a part of this dealing with fornication in the church. And if you remember 1 Corinthians 5, the fornication was really bad. It was a very deviant kind, you know, and so Paul deals with that, and then he talks about people taking each other to court, which seems to be in the context of relationships, and maybe there's money and property disputes, but it seems more like it falls in the context of these relationships. And then 1 Corinthians 7, which we'll get through 7 today, I think. And 7 deals with some marriage instructions, and so anytime there's people who aren't spiritual, people who don't want to take heed from the light that the Creator gives, well, then they have trouble in relationships. And I don't want to say you're not going to have trouble just because you believe the Bible or follow the Bible. There'll be trouble, but there's more trouble and an unnecessary trouble when you're just doing this blindly and trying to figure it out as you go. And so 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, we'll read a couple verses, and I'm just going to go through this chapter and deal with the instructions as Paul gives them, and their marriage instructions. So he says in verse 1, "Now concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and the likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. All right, let's pray. And we're going to deal with some things that Paul instructs in marriage. But let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. I do pray that you would help us learn what we need to learn and make the applications where they need to be made. And thank you for visitors. Thank you for really everybody that's here. Thank you for the teachers. Thank you for Betty and all that she does with breakfast, her and Catherine. And thank you for that. It's such a blessing every Sunday. And I pray that you'd help us get through this material. And then for the teachers that are teaching, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids in the back. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, marriage instructions. And among carnal people, relationships are going to get messed up. And that's what's going to happen. And that's what's happened really, really badly in the Corinthian church. This is an interesting whole section in Paul's letter, because it's maybe the only place where Paul gives an opinion. It may be the only place where Paul gives an opinion about something without giving a commandment. And he does. It's not necessarily something he's pulled out of the scriptures. It's something he thinks it would be beneficial, and his estimation of it. And so you'll see how he words all that in a minute. But the first few verses, very clear. Concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me, he said, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Likewise also the wife unto the husband. So the husband and wife are expected to take care of each other in physical matters, and that's particularly what he's talking about here, in relational matters. And so when those things break down, for whatever reason they break down, if there's not a good relationship, if there's not something to deal with the hiccups there, well, then sometimes people seek out other relationships, and that's how that goes. And so Paul says, look, if you're married, if you got a husband, be with your husband. If you got a wife, be with your wife. And you deal with each other the way that you've agreed to deal with each other. You've committed your life to them. You've agreed to this. And so, yeah, there may be things that have to be dealt with and taken care of that you don't want to do. And there may be, and Paul will deal with that in a minute. But it's part of the agreement and the covenant you make and the whole marriage relationship. And so he says, this is a guard. When you can keep the marriage relationship right, it's a guard against fornication. It's a guard against going out and trying to seek out other relationships and messing around and stuff like that. I mean, how many times is there trouble at the house? And husband or wife, you go to the office and there's, you know, somebody that you've probably already been thinking about. And then you start talking about how much trouble you have at home. And then they start talking about how much trouble they have at home. And then pretty soon, you know, you've got a whole other relationship created that wasn't supposed to be created. And so those things happen pretty regularly. But Paul says, look, if you're a Christian and you're married, then take care of the married things. Take care of the married part of life. If you're a husband, take care of the married part of life with your wife. If you're a wife, take care of the married part of things with your husband. And that is a guard against these other things, these other relationships that can spring up. So mutual submission is a guard against bringing sin into the marriage, because that's what you're bringing into the marriage in this case. Since fornication is a perversion of the original creative order of things, the created order of life, and therefore it's sin because it's a it's a perversion of the way God created a relationship to work, particularly a marriage relationship. And so it's outside of those boundaries, and you find that that's what sin is. Sin is a perversion of things that God created. It's not necessarily a thing on its own. It's taking something God created and then perverting that thing and turning it into something it's not supposed to be. And so he says, for instance, in verse 1, I think, don't touch if there's not a marriage. That's how things get to be more than just conversations. Then he also deals with not using particularly the bedroom as punishment. That's another thing. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail on this stuff. I think you guys, most of you understand what he's talking about. But don't use the bedroom as punishment. Don't withhold necessary affection. That goes for the husband and the wife. Don't withhold necessary affection to punish the spouse, punish your husband or your wife, and because that's going to lead to other problems. And he says, if you do this, what happens is you give a place for the devil to enter into that marriage. And if you're going to make vows and promises to this person and not fulfill those things, then this gives an opportunity to what he says there in verse 5. Defraud ye not the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves the fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. That means you don't have the ability to self-discipline. I guess self-discipline is a good word for it. And so Satan gets in there and he works his way in there and he can destroy that relationship. And so all of this Paul describes as kind of mutual submission in marriage. And if the needs aren't met for him or for her, Satan gets an opportunity through the flesh to destroy the relationship and possibly the people through sin. That's the first part. Second thing he deals with, and notice he said in verse 6, I speak this by permission, not of commandment. Meaning, when he says something like that, that means I can't point you to an Old Testament reference to say this is how this is supposed to work, but I can infer that this is how this is supposed to work since it's a marriage. This is how it's supposed to look. And so if it doesn't look that way, and if these husband and wife aren't agreeing and aren't abiding in the vows they made and the expectations they set for each other, well, then the devil gets the advantage, and who knows what happens after that. And Paul says, I speak this by permission, not of commandment, meaning there's not necessarily an Old Testament verse I can point you to, but this is pretty good advice anyway. Verse 7 through 9, Paul says there's no sin in marriage for widows and unmarried people. He says it this way. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner, another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. All right? These are Paul's recommendation. And he is very, very, what's the word? Well, it is sort of abrupt, but it's also his opinion on Christians is they would all be like him and just not be married and just go around and preach the gospel and that's all they would do. But he recognizes that's not real life and that's not reality. And so it's not going to be reality. It's not the way God created things. And so he tells you this is my estimation and the way things I would like things to be, but they're not going to be that way. Therefore, verse 9, if they can't contain, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. So there's no sin in marriage for widows, people who have been married before, lost a spouse, or people who are unmarried. Marriage is not a sin. It's not bad, even though Paul would prefer that people would just stay unmarried. But it's not a sin to marry, and that's what he deals with there. And then particularly if you need a relationship, let me just put it that way. If you need a relationship, then you need a relationship. That's the way that goes. And probably most people do. And so there's no sin in marriage for widows, for unmarried folks. Then verse 10, he says, and unto the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. So there's a commandment for married believers. If you're a married believer, if you're a Christian, that's what Paul's trying to deal with, people who are Christians, who are saved people in the Lord. He says, look, if you're married, stay married. If there's something that's happened in the marriage, seek reconciliation. And if you can't seek reconciliation, then just don't do it again. Don't get married again. That's the advice. Then, continuing on, verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. And a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. I'm going to stop there. The point he's making in verses 12 through 16 or so is, if you're married and you're married to a lost person, you are the testimony to that lost person. That's why he recommends what he does. If you're married to someone who is not interested in the things of God, they are, and that's where you find yourself. Maybe you neither one of you were interested in the things of God, and then one of you got interested during the time you're married. One of you gets interested. And then you think, well, how can I keep living with this guy and he doesn't want to go to church with me? Or how can I keep living with this woman who doesn't want to go to church with me, or whatever the case is? The point is, one of you is going in a godly direction and the other is not. And Paul says, well, in that case, again, stay married, because you are a testimony to the other one. In fact, you're probably the best testimony. I don't know how many, there are probably numerous stories of husbands who got saved first, or wives who got saved first, and then over a course of time, either the wife or the husband comes around and understands, oh, well, I need to trust Jesus Christ. I need to follow the words of God. And so I'm sure there are many testimonies. In fact, I'm tempted, Alan, I know you guys have a little test. You want to give a little testimony about it? Amen. Amen. So, Alan said, for people who are watching and can't hear necessarily, so Alan got saved, Denise thought he was a lunatic after he got saved. And but after a period of time, she realized and saw, wow, what Alan has is right. It's good. It's what I need. And so Denise got saved. Renee, you got. Amen. Amen. So these things are probably more common than not. I would say it's very rare that both husband and wife get saved at the same time or they come to these conclusions at the same time. But this is why Paul says what he says. Just stay together and you will be, if you're the spiritual and the saved one, you will be a testimony to your spouse. And that's what he's saying. And that's what all these, you know, for thou knowest, what knowest thou, wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? That's not like saving them, like dying on the cross for them. That just means you bring them to salvation. You bring them to an understanding of who they are before God and what God through Jesus Christ has done for them. And so that's the instruction there. If you're married to a lost person, just stay married and be a good testimony. That's if that can happen. That's what you should do. But then he also says this. If you're married to someone who's lost and they do not want to be a part of this at all, and they run away, they're not interested in the things of God, they're not interested in your new life, they don't want any part of this, and they push back, and there's a clear break in that relationship. Paul says, look, if the relationship dissolves at that point, well, then that's what happened. It just dissolved at that point, and the brother or sister who was married, and then there was a what is it? Is that what that is? That's he wants to be inside. Yeah, he got our attention now. We have another one in the other sanctuary too. So, right? Yeah. Right. And you have a good testimony about that too, Billy. And how long did that take? Years? Was it years? 6 months, okay. Renee. Amen. Amen. So, that's exactly what Paul's saying. That's what he's saying. But it also says, if the partner, the spouse, the husband or wife, fully rejects and wants to break off the relationship. That's what they want to do. They want to break the relationship off because of this new religion you found. Paul says, all right, if that's the case and it's impossible to work this out, well, then if you're saved and this other person walks away from this relationship, well, then you're not under bondage in that case. You haven't done anything wrong in that case. The other person dissolves and destroys the relationship. And so there's no law that says you have to make this right or you're forbidden to find anyone else. Paul says you're not under bondage in that case. And so, Just some practical stuff there about married to unbelievers, particularly. Stay married if you can. If it's not going to work with the other person, then they are going to destroy the relationship, and they're determined to do that. Well, then that's what they're determined to do, and that's what's going to happen. And so you're not under any constraints in that case. All right. Then he says, let's see, where do we stop? 17. As God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not be uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Oh, Paul says keeping commandments. Watch out. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. That's the point. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Don't try to be something you're not. We'll keep going. Verse 21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. So wherever place you find yourself in life, wherever you are, you get saved. Well, that's where you are. And now you're a testimony in that place, wherever it is. If you're a school teacher, okay, now you're a Christian school teacher, be that. If you're a welder, now you're a Christian welder, be that. If you're a baker, now you're a Christian baker, be that. If you're a whatever the case is, you work in retail, okay, be that. Now you're a Christian, now you have a testimony, do that. And so, the point is, in some of this, in this little exchange here, and some of you will know what I'm talking about when I say this, every Christian is in the ministry, but not every Christian is going to be a pastor, not every Christian is supposed to stand in a pulpit, not every Christian is supposed to, you know, do this. But every Christian is supposed to be a Christian where they're at. And that's the point. You're supposed to be a Christian police officer. You're supposed to be a Christian, whatever it is, teacher, professor, whatever it is. And so that's the idea. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. And that's I won't go into that one. There's this duality. It's like you have to learn how to be poor, how to be rich. You have to learn how to be a servant. You have to learn how to be free. And that was part of the issue, like with the nation of Israel. They weren't ready for freedom. They weren't ready for liberty. And so God gives them laws. He gives them constraints, very clear light and direction on how to run things. But if you're a person who is ready for liberation and freedom, you don't have to put a bunch of laws on people like that. They know to love each other. They know to be kind. They know to be good. And you don't have to put a bunch of fences up because they know the boundaries and they know what they're supposed to be doing. But if you're dealing with someone who's carnal, you have to put fences up and you have to give clear guidelines and you have to say, this is the boundary and you can't move past this and you can't move past this. Of course, the people who are carnal and you start putting up fences say, I don't like these boundaries. I don't like these boundaries. Well, the boundaries are for you because you can't control yourself. You don't know how to be good to people. You don't know how to love people. You don't know how to be kind. So I have to put fences up, because if I don't put fences up, you're not going to do the right thing. And so that's the idea. And Christianity is that. You have to learn how to be poor, be rich. You have to learn how to be a servant and be free. There's a balance. There's this, when Paul said, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That was one of the things he said in that statement. He said, I've been poor. I've been rich. I've been free. I've been a slave. I've been in jail. And in all of these things, I understand how to live my life. And what I've learned is how to be content in all of these things. I've learned how to be content in all of these places. And I had to learn how to do that. So then he says, and yes, this does deal with marriage. Verse 23, you're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide in with God. Okay, same thing. Next commandment, next instruction. He says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment. It seems like this means daughters. He's talking about daughters, unmarried daughters. I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. You see the duality? You have this, but you have to find contentment. There's these two ends of the spectrum here. Verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. All right, I'm going to stop there because there's a phrase that shows up about married life. And this is why Paul prefers unmarried life. Because if you're married, inevitably, you care for the things of the world. Because you have to. Because you have to care about your wife, you have to care about your husband, you have to care about your family, you have to care about these things. Now, the balance is, sometimes these things, I know most of you probably remember the parables where the seed gets planted, the seed's the Word of God. And then on one occasion, the seed starts to grow, but then the cares of the world choke out the work of the Word of God. Well, one of the things, the cares of the world, it's not necessarily like partying and riotous living and all that stuff. The cares of the world can be family life. The cares of the world can be hospitals and husband and wife and dealing with just bills and stuff like that. These things, this is why Paul said, look, if I would prefer you be single because all of that part of life becomes foreign to you. You don't have to deal with these things. And you're much more free to just live because you don't have that level of responsibility. But if you're married, inevitably you do have that responsibility. You must take care of the things of this world. You must take care of the bills. You must take care of your wife. You must take care of your husband. You must take care of your kids. And so that's why he says, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And so those cares, I mean, those things can range from, like we said, health problems enter into a family. And now there's a stress in the family that wasn't there before. And it's your responsibility. You have to care for this. You have to deal with doctors. You have to deal with doctors you don't like. And you have to deal with, bills. You have to deal with appointments and all of these things. Or you have a family and you want your kids to participate in football and baseball and basketball and track and all that stuff. And so you get them involved in these things. And pretty soon what you find out is me caring for all of these things of the world, I've removed my family from the things of God. And so you have to learn. You have to be very skilled at life to be able to balance. I want to love God. I want to serve God with my family. and with my kids and with my wife. And so that's a wisdom, and that's an understanding of things that is necessary. If you're going to be married and if you're going to have family, you will have to care for the things of this world. And those things can become things that choke the work of the Word of God. And that's just what they do. And it's just the way life is. And that's why he said earlier, he said, look, verse 31, they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. So it is a skill in life. It is a skill in Christian life to be able to navigate a dying, failing world while storing up eternal treasures in a place that is temporary and in bodies that are temporary. And so learning how to manage these things, that's wisdom, and that is something that is, you have to have it from God. You have to have some understanding about the nature of things and the nature of the world and the nature of God's instruction and the future and hope and salvation and redemption, things like that. All right? We're running out of time here. I'm going to try to finish this chapter. Verse 34. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. That's considered things of the world. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. It looks like a daughter. I'm not completely sure on that, but it looks like his daughter there. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. That's marrying someone who's saved, someone who's a Christian. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So he gives some instruction. He makes clear that he has some preferences in all this. He says unmarried is preferred, but marriage is not wrong. It's good. God created it. It's good. In a sinful world, in a marriage relationship, there's going to be the cares of this world that come up, and that's just going to be a reality. And when those things happen, there's going to be more of them because there's more people involved and there's more responsibility involved. And, you know, people live single lives because they feel like they're free from responsibilities and things like that. And I mean, I think about people I know, they have said, you know, we didn't have kids because we didn't want kids because we didn't want that responsibility. Understanding that is a responsibility. It's a real responsibility. And then there's something else I was going to tell you about this. Let's see. It just went out of my mind. I was maybe it'll come back. Anyway, there's so much in this chapter about this. And there's so many places we could just stop and deal with more of it. But the point is, this is a great chapter for marriage instruction. So if you ever want to think about, okay, what does the Bible say about marriage? Well, here's a chapter, 1 Corinthians 7, talks a lot about marriage. And very practical stuff, too. I mean, this is practical stuff. This isn't, you know, super, I'm going to say super spiritual stuff. This is very... very practical stuff about marriage and relationships and what is required in that. And Paul gives his preference, of course, but you get the idea. So that's some marriage instructions. And this really ends the section dealing with fornication. He started it in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, because in chapter 7 he said, he started it off, you know, to avoid fornication, let every man have his wife, let every woman have her husband. So this is still part of that conversation. And you'll notice that the next chapter he says, now touching things offered unto idols. So this is going to start a new thought. But there you go. There's some instructions in marriage. And we didn't, I feel like we didn't cover everything particularly, but you got an overview of the whole thing. So there you go. There's an overview of it. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. There's a lot of stuff in here. Lots of places we could just camp and really deal with specific issues, specific things that come up in relationships and in marriage between husbands and wives. But trying to give an overview of these things. So I pray it's helpful. Thank you again for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time to be set aside to open up your words, learn something from you. And I pray we can and have. And thank you so much for each soul that's here in this salvation in Jesus Christ, righteousness, eternal life in Jesus Christ. And again, I pray if anybody here has questions about eternal life or questions about their standing before God, and I pray we could open up the Bible, show them some things, or just have a conversation about it, whatever it takes, because you've clearly revealed to man your will, and you are the creator. And so I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.